It would be to the advantage of our colleagues in the House who are in the majority to shorten the process. And if the majority leader were to ask us to shorten the process, I would not object. The House doesn't get what we send over there until Monday. They're in a pretty tough spot.
All right, tough spot or not. That's the way we roll in this country. We hold everybody hostage until in the 11th hour, finally, something is passed and the government is narrowly averting being shut down. That might not happen this time around. Who knows? But the ball is going to bounce back into the Senate's court. Texas Senator Ted Cruz taking a different tack, hit the floor just before 3 o'clock on Tuesday, now into Wednesday, speaking it up in opposition to fund Obamacare, going to opt for defunding it. That's part of the reason why he decided to filibuster. Hey, everybody, that's where we begin this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. It's about whether or not we're going to see a budget. So October 1st is when, you know, that's when the clock strikes midnight and everything goes in the wrong direction. In fact, really, the government would run out of money October 24th, and that you don't want to see. The new fiscal year starts October 1st. So a push by Senate conservatives to eliminate funding for the new health care law had a huge setback when you just heard Minority Leader Mitch McConnell say he wouldn't support the strategy of using delaying tactics when the funding legislation came before the chamber this week, which is what Ted Cruz is doing, the senator from Texas, and some other conservatives as well, who have said they're going to use parliamentary tactics to support the legislation passed by the House on Friday that would link funding for federal agencies to the bid to defund the health law. The Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, laid the groundwork, though, for the Senate to hold its first test vote on the House bill on Wednesday. And that's where we are, really, at this point. The president is not saying much of anything, saying that he doesn't want to have any kinds of debates or any kind of talk, even over the debt ceiling, because that's the next thing, whether or not to raise the debt ceiling limit or to default on our loans. And if that happens, you have to remember last time around, remember the 2011 talks anyway, the S&P stripped the government of our credit rating, or the top-notch credit rating anyway. And, you know, if that happens and we roll into the same thing, then it would mean that we would default on the loans, basically, is what we're looking at. So here we go again. We're approaching the legal borrowing limit. More than 2 years ago, we had crazy time, crazy town with weird negotiations. It was messy. It was long. It was bizarre debate. And I don't think that's going to happen this time around. I don't think we'll see that. We won't see a shutdown. I'd be surprised if we saw a shutdown. But the question is, you know, we keep coming back to the same thing over and over and over again. So, okay for Senator Cruz and his crusade and others to say, well, we don't want to take this and let's pass the defunding of Obamacare and save the money on that. But, you know, the bottom line is, no matter how we slice this up, we come to the same conclusion again and again and again, that we shouldn't be here in the first place. Why are we here in the first place? So, you know, who benefits from this? And the only one who benefits from a shutdown, really, the only one who benefits would not be the workers, would not be the economy, but maybe a few politicians. I mean, that the negative repercussions, if we don't fund the day-to-day operations past September 30th are right there. But politically, it's better for some people to force a government shutdown. And we are once again at that fiscal impasse. And the resolution is so far not there. So we'll see what happens with this as that gets volleyed around. That's where we started. You have Ted Cruz, who is hitched the wagon to the fate of the spending battles. And, you know, this is the first time senator who has a lot of fight in him and doesn't really show a lot of back down. And if the government reaches a shutdown, it would be because Cruz managed to convince enough Republicans to stand with him on the issue of Obamacare, but that's not likely the way it's looking. They've got the vote, so that shouldn't happen here in this case. Very, very doubtful. All right, one thing that shouldn't have happened but did also is if we look to our friends in Kenya and that situation in the mall, the Kenya president declaring the mall attack defeated finally on Tuesday, saying security forces have killed the five terrorists and arrested 11 other suspects with the terrible siege on the shopping mall, and it closes really carnage and chaos and the 4 days of what happened there. And the fact that they were able to get into that position in the first place. And there were Americans that were there. There were Americans who escaped. There was one survivor who was, quoted all over the place. A lawyer with the World Bank, in fact, who just happened to be in Nairobi to meet a colleague for lunch. And they switched tables because they didn't like the table where they were. They had a drink, they were talking, and then all of a sudden there was an explosion. If they had stayed at the table where they were, they would have been killed. So it just makes your skin crawl to think about it. And the president of Kenya, President Kenyatta, is somebody who also felt the grief himself because his own nephew and his nephew's fiance were killed in that siege. 66 people died and more than 100 people were injured. And the fact that all those days they were able to hold off troops and have these gun battles was, just absolutely crazy. And the stories abound as to who got caught in the crossfire, and the stories are sad stories. There were a couple of Canadians that were killed in the attack. There was a businessman from North Vancouver and others that happened to be there just at the wrong time. There were people crawling, trying to escape, and some of them got caught up in the explosions, and others got caught up just being in a position where they were shot by the people that were holding the group of them hostage. So the militants from Al-Shabaab staging a shooting massacre, killing so many civilians and 6 security officers and shattering countless lives, letting Muslims go and targeting only people of other faiths. Woo! 855-266-5283 if you want to throw in your 2 cents. Does this worry you of attack like this happening here in the United States? Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
A professor from George Mason about the back and forth, the wranglings of the push-pull of the government and constantly going round and round with budgetary problems and where we see ourselves as a nation. Maybe some things to look at, why people, when they vote, should be a little bit more informed, he says. It's not about the numbers of people who vote. You always hear that, well, everybody's going to go and vote this person out. It's about more informed voters, and that's coming up in our next segment. Plus, we can count because, hey, it's all about the numbers, baby, and you don't have to tell Senator Ted Cruz about that. He's looking for some numbers, a few extra friends. And so are some of the other Republicans who are hoping to defund Obamacare, but that's not looking like that's going to happen. Deflating the affordable health care law. And if anything, hey, let's not shut down the government, right? Because how many people are going to lose their jobs, at least for a couple of days or who knows how long? Then you swing back into the middle class getting slammed. The government workers who are the middle class government workers are the ones who really take it on the chin when you have the sequester kicking in. Because they lose a chunk of their pay. It's not the people at the top, of course, of the food chain. It's everybody else that is in between. It's all of those other people that get slammed by this. How about this? This was kind of on my radar. You know, we've seen lately, because our economy at least is showing some signs of turning a corner, that more illegals are coming back into the country. And remember, we had that whole immigration reform that got shelved. So the police in California now, they say, would be prohibited from helping deport illegal immigrants under a bill being considered by Governor Jerry Brown, right? In a proposed change, they say, would violate federal law. Let me explain that. It's called the Trust Act. So the cops, it would stop the cops from cooperating with immigration and customs enforcement officers on a bunch of cases. That's happening a lot in California. So the people who support the bill say that it's narrowly focused and only applies to illegals arrested for minor crimes, right? But here's the thing. Prosecutors and sheriffs say if you're victimized by someone stealing your identity, selling drugs, burglarizing homes, that kind of stuff, then it's a minor crime under the bill. If the law passes, they wouldn't be able to put holds on people who have previously been deported. So someone could be deported. This is the problem we have that people never talk about. Someone could be deported 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 times, and it wouldn't matter. There wouldn't be cause to put a hold on them. So the California District Attorneys Association and the California Sheriff's Association banded together. They're opposing the law because it conflicts with the federal statutes. It doesn't make any sense, and that's what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense. It's unconstitutional, blah, blah, blah. And then it's in California, it's telling the feds what you can and can't do. So it's kind of ironic. It seems like in California they have a hard time understanding even what they're trying to pass. We've seen that before. The Securities Communities Program, that what they do there is when a suspect is booked in jail, the fingerprints go through an immigration database. If in the U.S. illegally, ICE can put a hold or detainer on the inmate, so they're deported. That makes sense, doesn't it? And under the Trust Act, the police would have no obligation to honor that detainer for dozens of crimes. So for goodness sake, if somebody is hit with the, has assaulted or done some other crime, they should be able to see that and be able to act on that. And instead of just pushing it through. And some people say that this move was made when Arizona passed SB 1070. You know that. That allows the local police there to find out the immigration status of suspects when they're pulled over for something else. We're never going to agree on this. It's just a huge problem because it wasn't taken care of a long time ago when there were laws on the books. And it still goes back to the opportunity to earn money. You know, it's a third world country if you're talking about Mexico. It's the haves and the have-nots. And so the haves are holding on, and the have-nots see the opportunity to come to the United States. And when the economy is good, that's what they're going to do. People are going to hire them. They're going to come into the United States. And then the problem is then we're going to all complain, why are we having to pay extra for health care? Why are we having to deal with a terrible situation at our schools and hospitals, especially in the border states, but even beyond that? Well, you can't have it both ways. You know, you can't have it both ways. And nobody really, really wants to talk about immigration reform or figuring out what to do at the borders. There are some areas that are pretty good, but there are a lot of areas that still aren't very good at all and are wide open. And so you still have those tunnels. You still have people getting through, and what do you expect? So you can't. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. And this is the continuing problem. In California, they see it because they're right in the middle of it. Either you're able to see that somebody who's been deported for and has committed crimes, and they've been deported a couple of times, either you're able to see that and you're able to act on that. And shouldn't any law enforcement person be able to do that, especially in a place like California that we're talking about? Well, the answer is yes. So all eyes are there to see what happens with this bill if it becomes a law. And if it stops some of those deportations, some people, you know what's going to happen. Something horrible is going to happen. And everyone's going to complain, how did this happen? Why didn't we do something? How come they weren't deported? How come we didn't know? And that there will be the answer. That the California bill that became a law stopped that. I think it's pretty brazen, and this is kind of going in a different direction, but since we're talking about things that are there ought to be a law for, I think it's kind of brazen if you decide that you're going to try to explode a police department, right? The Columbus Police Department opened on Wednesday morning after a panel on a battery being used in a construction project popped off while it was charging and prompted an evacuation. It was an explosion that was caused by the battery, which was part of a construction project in the lobby, to just, boom, explode. So people thought initially that somebody was trying to hit the police, just blow up the lobby. And that wasn't the case at all. There was an emergency call that went out. It was happened like 7:30 in the evening. The building actually could feel the shake. There was a loud noise outside. They smelled gunpowder. So what are you thinking if you're buried back in that building somewhere? And it's in a business district not very far from the Ohio State House. And an hour after the explosion was reported, the building was evacuated. And everyone inside was put on buses, and they went through the building floor by floor because they didn't know what happened. And they didn't get any threats. None of that was going on. And there weren't a bunch of 911 calls, any of that. And then they figured out that's what it was. But it's not what you're thinking. Oh, evacuate. Oh, my gosh. Somebody's trying to blow up the police department. And it was because of the construction project. Not because somebody had a nefarious reason to go after the Columbus police. And it led to the quickly getting people out of the building and trying to figure out, as I said, just combing through those floors, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. All right, speaking of what in the world is going on, our professor pal from George Mason University in the wings to talk about our current state of affairs in politics and voters. Are they simply not informed enough? And if they were, oh, what a difference it would make. So says he. That's coming up.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
If you do want me, give me a shot. If you don't want me, don't leave me on down. If you need me, show me that you love. And when I'm feeling blue and I want to, there's just you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl. Oh, yeah. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my darling, to show me that you're mine, girl. All right.
If you want me, give me Mr. Sweet Talking.
Government shutdown possibility anyway, and the fact that so many people don't realize just how deep this goes, even talking about the debt ceiling talks and how that could be affected, and now the president's stance is really, I'm not going to negotiate, we're just going to forget this over the whole borrowing limit thing. So that comes after, will there be a government shutdown? Professor Ilya Somnin joins us. He is in our virtual green room from George Mason Law School. Professor, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I want to tell you, everybody, he's written a book called, I love the title, Democracy and Political Ignorance. You just lay it on the line right there. So what do you mean by political ignorance? Do you mean political ignorance by the people in the country or overall in general, people on the Hill, the politicians themselves, and the people?
So I don't doubt the politicians are ignorant about some things, but my book is primarily about political ignorance among the voters who, on many, many issues, don't know fairly basic facts. For instance, just a few months ago, a poll showed that over 40% of the public do not even realize that Obamacare is still the law, and we're now talking and debating the question of what the future of Obamacare should be, but it's also the case that 79% say they have heard nothing or very little about the exchanges, which are one of the central parts of Obamacare and a big sticking point in its implementation. So if you don't know fairly basic facts about Obamacare, and also, by the way, about the federal budget and how it works, it's pretty difficult for the public that doesn't know these things to formulate reasonable and intelligent opinions about it.
Yeah, and you say something interesting. It's something that I say all the time on the show. The danger of voter ignorance is the fact that Washington continued to operate the way it is. It's like power unchecked, if you will, and it can continue to thrive. Do you think that's pretty accurate when nobody's there to really, really question, and the people aren't coming out to complain or to say something or to wonder or that kind of stuff? That doesn't that leave Congress to do as it wants to do?
So I don't think that's entirely true. People often do complain, but many of those who complain or who have opinions are very poorly informed about what's going on. And so as a result, Congress and other politicians, they know they're operating in an environment where most of voters know very little, and that creates a very different set of incentives than they would have if they were facing an electorate that knew more.
Yeah. How does this affect everyone day to day? I talked about this a little bit. You know, people start peppering me with questions. What about Social Security? What about veterans checks? What happens to our mail? How does a government shutdown, if there were one, how would it affect people listening to America Tonight, Professor?
So I think it depends on exactly how the government shutdown is structured and how long it lasts. I think a lot of functions of government may be temporarily shut down, various museums and other facilities. There are other so-called essential services which are not shut down, various emergency services, the military, and so on. I think, you know, a lot depends on exactly how the government shutdown operates and how long it lasts. I do think, though, what's a terrible shame, in addition to the fact that a shutdown might occur at all, is that most of the public has very little understanding of most of the issues that led to the shutdown, both Obamacare and also our more general problems with the federal budget. For example, lots of studies show that the majority of the public grossly underestimates how much of the federal budget goes to big entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security. And on the other hand, they overestimate by a factor of at least 5 or 10 how much goes to foreign aid. So a lot of the public seems to have the opinion that if only we could cut foreign aid, we could deal with our budget crisis effectively. And sadly, that just isn't true. We have to get entitlements under control if we're going to make any progress. But because the public often just doesn't see that, a lot of the time politicians in both parties can effectively pretend that we can address our fiscal problems without actually addressing the areas where the federal government spends the lion's share of its money.
All right, well said. I agree. People don't understand. It's take a pie chart and where are the biggest chunks, and you could break it out, and it's pretty easy to actually find out that information. But a lot of people aren't aware of that. So what's the answer to getting people more on top of things, if you will? I mean, you're a professor, so you have young minds or people that come into your classes. But what about, in general, people that are out there that really aren't looking for that, really aren't looking to dig deeper? Obviously, you have talk radio, you have reporters, you have good journalists that write deeper things and peel back the onion a little bit more. But what else would you suggest should happen?
So there isn't, unfortunately, a simple answer by which we can solve this problem quickly. I really wish there was, but there isn't. I do think, however, in the long run, we can ease the problem by reducing the role of government and its complexity in our society. Currently, for most voters, there's actually very little incentive to learn very much about these issues because the chance that your vote will actually make a difference in an election is so extremely small.
Mm.
The only reason to learn about politics to be a better voter, that's not much of an incentive. On the other hand, when we make decisions in the private sector, when we decide which car to buy, which TV to buy, and the like, we have much better incentive to be informed because the chance that our decision will actually make a difference is much higher. If you're like most people, you probably spent more time and effort getting information about the last car you bought than about the last presidential candidate that you voted for. So if we can make more of our decisions in the private sector and fewer through government, we can also make more of our decisions in ways where we have better incentive to be informed. And that, I think, is perhaps the most important theme of my book, that this is why smaller government is smarter. It's not because we become smarter people, but because we have better incentives to use our intelligence to acquire knowledge about the decisions we make.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm all for that. I think that it's a giant machine, and it's way too big and out of control, and that's part of why people just tune out to it. The Electoral College, as you say, I'm thinking of presidential elections, there's not much you can do to sway an election. Do you think we should ditch the Electoral College?
To be honest, I don't have a very strong opinion on that either way. I think that political ignorance is a problem with the Electoral College, but it'll be a problem without it. There are other arguments for and against the Electoral College, but I think actually both sides overstate their importance.
Yeah. When we talk about shrinking the government and understanding what's happening and whatnot, do you think, as you watch, and you have a front row seat, and you're teaching, and you see this too as well, do you have hope that it'll get better? I mean, you wrote a book. This is something that you're passionate about. Do you have hope that yes,
so,
this can get better?
I do have hope that it can get better because there are historical examples, both in this country and abroad, where we have succeeded in shrinking government and also decentralizing it. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, went through a period in the 1990s and early 2000s where they significantly reduced the size of their government to the point now where it's actually in some ways significantly smaller than ours. The other thing is I hope that if more people, particularly more well-informed people, become aware of the magnitude of the problem of political ignorance, that may lead them to be more willing to support reducing the role of government in our society if they recognize that government is so significantly influenced by ignorance. So over time, I think there can be improvement. I don't think we can get to a point where most ordinary voters actually follow politics closely. I don't think that's realistic. But what we can get to a point is where there is more awareness of the problem of ignorance and therefore more skepticism about trying to solve our issues by having larger and more complex government.
So then the other thing is, too, in looking at history, we're talking also about young voters because that's where it begins. And we've seen a spike in the past in young voters, but then we've also seen, like in the last election, where it goes down. If you were part of the political process, in other words, you had a candidate in a future race, wouldn't you press to have younger people be involved and understand? Because isn't that, I mean, that's the future of America, right? The people behind
us. I think it's important to recognize that involvement and understanding are two different things. What I would press people to do, both young and old, is that if they're going to be involved in politics, that involvement should be based on knowledge and understanding. I would even say that if you're going to vote, I'm not saying you have a duty to vote, you can choose not to, but if you're going to vote, you should at least make sure that you're no more ignorant than the average voter. Is, which is actually a pretty low standard of knowledge. That way, at least when you vote, you're not reducing the quality of the electorate.
I love that.
So I think a lot of people place a high emphasis we should increase the turnout of voters. To my mind, if I were to advise individual voters, I would say that if you're going to vote, you should make sure that you're casting at least a reasonably informed vote.
I agree. Smarter voters know what's going on. It's easy to find that information out, too, especially when you get closer to an election. Professor, very enlightening. So Professor Ilya Salmon, am I saying that last name right, Salmon?
So Soman.
Soman. All right, I wanted to get it right. So the book is Democracy and Political Ignorance. Pick it up. Can they get it through Amazon?
Yes, it's available for pre-order on Amazon. I actually ship in just a couple days now. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. It has a Kindle edition. We're taking advantage of all the sort of modern technologies that are available.
I love it. All right, thanks a lot. We'll have you on again sometime down the line. Thanks, Professor.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Times are changing, and violent crimes against law-abiding citizens are out of control. Protect yourself with legal, affordable, 100% made in the USA ballistic body armor. Available at AR500.com. Rated for calibers up to .308 Winchester. Packages including armor start at only $210. It's the right of every responsible American citizen to own body armor. Get some at 602-501-9607 or AR500.com.
It's the Mountain House Super Sale, right now at BePrepared.com. This month only, every can is 40% off. Try the delectable flavor of scrambled eggs with bacon, only $20.39, regularly $33.99. Or taste Mountain House Beef Stroganoff, normally $28.49, now only $17.09. In the mood for dessert, try a number 10 can of raspberry crumble for only $16.49, usually priced at $27.49. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
You're on America Tonight. I always say it's about the numbers, and yeah, it's about the numbers. There are plenty of them this time around, including this one, and it's pretty big when you think about $270 million in cocaine. Well, you could say to yourself, yeah, there's been lots of busts where they've found cocaine that's worth XYZ. But how about in Venezuela, a record drug bust where they believe it might have been an inside job? Why? Because it was found on a flight from Caracas. So interesting to put all that coke in suitcases, about 30 suitcases. I said this on a previous show. To me, what's interesting about that is how many places have I flown from, whether it was internationally or here in the good old USA, where, you know, you get those bag tag things, and nobody ever checks the bag tags. So maybe it would be easy to get bags through, because at first it seems like, well, yeah, you have these bags unaccounted for. But what happened was they nailed the bags when they came out, and they were able to sniff them out for drugs. Otherwise, somebody would have shown up and just picked them up. I'm assuming that they had success with that before, and that's why they were able to try that, to do it, to get away with it. Otherwise, they certainly wouldn't have put that much cocaine in a bunch of suitcases, just hoping that it would be okay on the other side. You know, we talk about Apple iPhones and Apple in general and all the technology of that company, and Androids too when we're talking about phones. Whatever happened to the BlackBerry? Remember they used to nickname it the Crackberry because people were seemingly addicted? Well, BlackBerry sold. Yep. They sold to a holding company for $4.7 billion. That is a big story, because technology passed the BlackBerry by, and that's why you saw that so many other companies were able to step in front of BlackBerry. But they sold. So there was a letter of intent that was signed. Bah, bah, bah. Shareholders get $9 in cash for each share, and that's it. BlackBerry said its board of directors approved the terms, and sure enough, the BlackBerry 10, they revamped their operating system. They have newer devices. They have the touch screens, the keyboard still, and all of that, and they've kind of rejuvenated the brand a little bit and been able to lure some customers. But the delayed phones failed to turn the company around. At their peak in the fall of 2009, BlackBerry smartphones had 20% of the global market, and then it just evaporated. And this shows you how quickly with technology you can go in the opposite direction. Here's your big fat number. So 2009, BlackBerry smartphones are 20% of the market share. Now their piece of the pie, 1.5%. 1.5%. And they had to cut their workforce by 40%. They had to lay off almost 5,000 people. And that's because you just cannot, especially when you have some big players in the game, you cannot sit back and just enjoy the moment in the sun. You have to be working on whatever's next, especially when it comes to things related to the phones. You know, as we've seen, the apps and the things that people are so caught up in, and you get left behind if you try to just kind of coast and develop something a little bit slower. Four people have been charged in a Chicago shooting that got a lot of attention, that wounded 13 people. And part of the reason why is because the four men charged in the shooting at this park, where they're struggling to stop crime, because they, you know, what happens is Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, wants to talk about how they're working on crime and they're doing whatever they can and they're praising great police work, and you got these quick arrests and they're calling for tougher gun laws, but the gangs and the struggles of the people in Chicago, I mean, it's epidemic, the gang violence that pushed the city's murder toll up to 16% last year, 506 people killed. So gun violence apparently has slowed a little bit. That's what the category of what they call it. But it's still, despite the major police crackdown, it's still a huge problem. So getting to the four people and charging them and arresting them is a step in the right direction, because usually a lot of this goes under the wire. You had, you know, they were all in their 20s, basically. the youngest being Kawan Gatewood, who is 20 years old. And it's tough to know where and when you can go out in certain areas of that city, especially on the south side. And even hospitals won't take some of these gunshot victims. It's just that bad. But there's your number. The bigger number of over 500 deaths last year, and the fact that four people immediately were arrested. So as this volleying back and forth happens on the Senate floor, and you have right now Texas Senator Ted Cruz continue to talk into the wee hours on Wednesday, urging his fellow colleagues to move forward on a bill that would prevent a government shutdown and defund Obamacare. Boy, that would be different, wouldn't it? While that's happening, you have other Republican leaders who are considering attaching a one-year delay of the individual mandate to the Senate's government funding measure, but it has risks attached to it. If you were to say, okay, well, let's just do a one-year delay, more than likely it's the same thing. It's about the numbers and having the votes anyway. So the Republicans have a couple of different strategies going on. And how the strategies end up playing out, we'll see. But it's not looking good. It's looking like the House version goes back to the Senate. And Democrats either schedule a vote or not, and then they try to get it through the chamber before October, 1st. All right, let's go to Ray, who's listening to us in the great state of Missouri. Hey, Ray, how are you?
I'm good, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. Filibuster, schmilibuster. Could you fill up all those hours? Have you had to figure out a way to do that?
It'd be rough. I give him mad props, though.
I give him props for that. It's tough, yeah.
Yeah, he's got constituents telling him that they don't agree with what's going on. And I feel like there's a bunch of other people, Republicans and probably Democrats, that ought to do the same thing. If they're getting the calls from the people and that they don't want this, I don't think it's a bad idea to slow down and take calls and test it.
Yeah, listening to your constituents is a good thing.
I can't get a Caskill to even take a damn call.
Because she narrowly won that election, so now she had a taste of some bitter medicine. Remember when Obamacare first came up, and she was out doing those town hall meetings, people asked some pretty pointed questions, and she didn't have answers for them.
Yeah, I've called trying to get her to talk to her to voice my opinion, and she's always busy, so. No good. And I am a union worker. I work for a union. And the unions are turning against it, too. And just can't get nobody to talk to you.
Yeah, you know, Ray, keep trying, because I'll tell you what you do. If they won't talk to you on the phone, send her a letter, an email. Sometimes that works better and gets some other people, especially you're in a union and you have other people, you know, you're going to be affected by this across the board. Just bombard them with emails, too. If it's calls they won't take, then do it the email route or even just the old-fashioned letter for sure. Thanks for the call, Ray. And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Microplant powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Microplant powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and microplant powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with microplant powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Microplant powder, available only at HempUSA.org.